Hallelujah. That's an interesting song, isn't it? Take time to be holy. It takes time. In one sense, we're made holy when we receive Christ into our life. But then in another sense, there's that sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit that takes time. It takes time in our lives. And we need to realize that all the changes don't come right at once. Don't get discouraged. It takes time. Stick with it. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep under His working. Keep yourself under His hand. And you'll find that Jesus will make you holy as He is holy. Praise God. That's why He died. So that you can be just like Him. And the other emphasis here is that we need to take time with God. We've got to give Him time in our life. You know, I think that's something where the devil fights us because he knows that just by spending time with Jesus, God accomplishes so much. It would be a sad thing if we stood before the Lord one day and the Lord showed us what He could have done with us if we would have just given Him more time. And we would have said, Lord, it was that simple? I just needed to spend more time with You each day. And You would have made all those changes and You would have used me in that way. How did I miss that? Because it's too simple. But there's really something to that. By spending much time in secret with Jesus alone. That's when God is able to do His work. God needs your time more than a lot of other things we try to give Him. And if somehow we could get that into our heads and into our hearts, God needs my time. He needs me to spend time with Him. And just sitting at His feet, waiting in His presence, poring over His Word, what miracles are wrought in my soul. That's how Jesus works. And so, let's not wait till we get to heaven to find out it could have been different. But let's give Him time today. We've come to camp for that purpose. My, you've been seeking the Lord perhaps more here at camp than you usually do at home. We've certainly been in more meetings and more times of prayer. You know, sometimes this past week, you know, those after the meeting, the Lord drew so near to us. I didn't leave because I'm the minister and I have to wait till the end. I didn't want to go. I was on my knees saying, thank You, Jesus. Thank You that You're helping me to give You time. I need this. You need this. And those times of silence were so rich. And I didn't know what the Lord was accomplishing, but I knew by the manifestation of His presence that He was working His wonders in my life and in your life as well. Praise God. And so some will be going home soon. Others will be staying on to seek the Lord. But maybe we can get that into our heart. Take time. Maybe we can determine when we go back home, Lord, I'm going to make more time. I'm going to make time. Here it says take time. Maybe we should change it to make time. Because that's what you have to do. You know, if you don't make time, you'll find that your day will pass by so quickly. You'll get to the end of the day and you'll say, boy, I didn't spend hardly any time with the Lord today. Has it ever happened to you? Don't raise your hand. But I think that every one of us would have to admit that that's happened more often than it should have. And so you have to make time. That's why we're told that it's good to seek the Lord in the morning. Before the world, the busyness of the world gets hold of you. And then it's always good at night. You know, you got to do what works for you. And the Lord knows our hearts, and if He sees that we want to spend more time with Him, He has a wonderful way of arranging things to make that possible. But start with the little time you have. Make sure you're faithful in giving Him the little time you have, and God will add to that in some way. Years ago, when I was in Fredericksburg, Virginia, I was there with a fellow by the name of Bowie Curry. We lived here at Pilgrim Camp together for a little over a year. And then when the pastor was sick in Virginia, Brother Bowie went to help him. And after about a month, Brother Andrews went to be with the Lord. And then they asked Bowie to stay on. And the gardeners asked me if I would pray about going to help Bowie. And so I was there for about 2.5 years. And one day I was in the basement of the church, and grandmother came in with her little granddaughter. And the little girl saw me, and then she asked her grandmother, "Where's the other Jesus?" That meant Bowie. I never forgot that. Where's the other Jesus? And I thought, my, if this is what the little girl thinks of Jesus, or if this is the impression she has of Jesus, I ought to be very careful about the way I live. The fact that there were two Jesuses, that was a problem, but I didn't think that I would address that problem at her young age just yet. But really, it spoke to me. Where's the other Jesus? Praise God. I thought, Lord, when people see me, let them see Jesus in me. And don't let me get in his way. Don't let them mistake anything about me for Jesus, but let them see the real thing. Praise God. And that's been the pursuit of our life, getting out of the way and letting Jesus, who lives in our hearts, shine out. Praise God. And he does that more than we realize. You know, we're kind of hard on ourselves sometimes, but, you know, when we go out into the world and people living in darkness, they see more of the light of Jesus in you than you realize. And we have to believe that. But Lord, you do live in me, and you must shine out. And you know, what just seems natural to us, living as Christians, showing kindness, showing love, trying to be patient, trying to honor the Lord, well, that's just natural to us, but to the world, that's something very unusual. And they take notice of that. Our sister Nikki testified the other day how at work, people make comments. They see a difference in her. They see that there's something different about her. And maybe they don't know exactly what it is. They can't put their finger on it. But it's Christ. It's Christ in her heart, shining out through her smile and the kindness and the way in which she conducts herself. Just that presence of Jesus in our life, you know, it has an effect. Praise God. And the more we become like Jesus, the more powerful that is that influence. And the more definite is the work that God can accomplish in the lives of others. So, where's the other Jesus? Well, he's still in Virginia. And he's been seeking the Lord for a number of years now. Bowie's a very godly fellow. I always think of him that way. Very careful in the way that he speaks and seeks the Lord. He's really given himself to a life of prayer. And you know, I see more of Jesus in him every time I see him. And that's how it ought to be. We ought to see more of Jesus in one another all the time. Praise God. And it is. It's getting that way. It's getting brighter. The light is shining brighter. And the Lord, one day, that perfect day will come when Jesus comes to receive us to himself. And the Bible tells us we do not yet, it does not yet appear what we shall be. God's working on something tremendous. But when he shall appear, then we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Brother Edwin, Brother Eddie Walfogel's father, who I had the privilege of serving under for a number of years, he would tell some wonderful stories, and he often went to Germany, and he said, you know, there was a cathedral, and every time he went to this particular city, that cathedral was just covered with scaffolding. They were resurfacing it or redoing something, and it was really just a real big eyesore, nothing attractive about it at all. And he said that went on for a number of years. He would go and he'd look at that cathedral, and all you could see was the scaffolding and the workers. But one year he came to Germany, and all the scaffolding was down, and he saw what the beauty of what they had accomplished. The beauty of that building, it sparkled, and and the architecture and so on. And he said, you know, that's how we are as Christians. We're under scaffolding. We're under construction right now. We look at one another and we see the scaffolding and it's not always so attractive, you know. But God is working on something very beautiful. And one day when Jesus comes back, all the scaffolding is coming down. And then we're going to see what he had been doing in our lives. And it'll take our breath away. Jesus, this is what you were working on. And this is what you accomplished. And it was all your doing. Praise God. And so we get a peek every once in a while. And we get encouraged to see that God is changing us. But the greater changes and the greater sight is coming yet. And we, what a day that will be when we see him face to face. And then we recognize, and the glory that's in my life, it's Jesus. I see him as he is, and I see that he's made me like him. And throughout the ages of eternity, we'll shine for him and worship him for the great things that he's done for us. Praise God.